And just like that, we're back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the regular guys, random thoughts. 90 Day Fiancé, season 9, episode 5 or 6?
6.
Whatever, it sucks.
It's still crazy bullshit. To me how your enthusiasm is here and then just starts coming down as you start to introduce the episode. Look, stop it.
Well, I get excited about regular guys' random thoughts because that's awesome. But then when we start getting into the reality TV stuff, that's when it gets to that bullshit where I'm just like, what episode? What are we on? 2 hours of what? Whatever.
Look, for those of you new to the show, here's the reason why Terrell seems to be like the downer when it comes to reality TV and the recaps and why we're actually doing it, okay? So first of all, sometime back in the day, he made a deal with the devil, said he would never watch The Bachelor until they had a Black Bachelor. Pandemic hit. True. ABC said, you know what? The black guy deserves a shot. Let's give it to him. And to Matt James. So he was stuck watching it. So me being the good friend that I am, I watched it with him. Well, in return, him being the good friend that he is, he decided to watch one of my favorites, Married at First Sight, season 13. And now here we are as they're resetting the 90 Day Fiancé universe. The introduction for him. You like that, right? The universe, you like that?
It's like the metaverse. Exactly. I got it. My name is not say metaverse.
It's the multiverse. We're resetting it. And now here we are, season 9, episode 6. And we've got a very special guest joining us this week because I needed some backup, right? And then I thought I was getting backup. And then I come to find out that Lexi with the curls, who I thought was a big 90 Day Fiancé fan, this is like your first original series rodeo.
I'm a newbie. I literally, maybe 4 years ago, I was at Art Basel in Miami, and it was randomly on TV, and I was waiting to go out, and I was like, what is this show? This is so funny. You know what? So when I first saw 90 Day Fiancé, I thought it was literally just two Americans that were only dating for 90 days. I didn't know the premise of the show, but I randomly happened to watch it, and I was like, yo, this is hilarious. And it was the other way. It was 90 days. Yes, I'm a newbie, but like 3-4 years. So I know I haven't watched every season, but I am a newbie.
I am too, so you're not alone.
Yes.
And you've watched the other way. You've watched some of the other ones, but this is the first where they're actually coming to the States that you're seeing.
Exactly, correct, yep.
Okay.
Yep. And well, I'm loving it.
The season 9 has started off great. You know, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. 6 couples in this week's episode. Let's start off in order of appearance. Bilal and Shaida. And is it me or does he keep treating her like a child?
He does. I really just don't care for him. He talks to her like a child and she's just so timid and she doesn't know what to say. So yeah, I don't think they're going to work out.
Can we go back to when he said this season starting off great? What does great look like to you?
You know, great.
I think you really need to raise your bar if you think this is great.
You know, entertaining. It's been entertaining. You know, I like to laugh. I like to make fun of some of the couples, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just entertaining. I'll put it that way.
Well, if you're entertained, that's great. I'm not. This is a labor of love. More love for the show than it is for our show than it is for the 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
But for Bilal, even though we're members of the same organization, I thought maybe I needed to give him a little bit more leeway once I found that out. Mm-hmm. And I just can't. I just can't do it. So I don't think he really understands the difference of what it means for Shai to come here and meet his ex-wife and community and all that stuff.
Right.
Compared to when he went. And it seems like he's making power moves because
yes,
he has the job, he has the house. Mm-hmm. So this is my way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to come in. And yes, he does talk to her like a child.
Yes.
And like scolds her. And I'm just like, hey, Shai, and I'm not a Muslim. I don't know a whole lot about the culture, but why are you okay with this?
That behavior is what it is.
Pack your shit and go.
Yeah.
You know, but the
bring your backside back home.
Right.
The fact that he took her to, is it Juma?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's just say church.
Yeah.
He took her to church and didn't introduce her to anybody. I'm just like, why would you, what's this guy's deal? And for him to be so butthurt, now, I agree with him. I would not want to be with someone if I told you once, don't slap me upside the head because that'll piss me off. Mm-hmm. And you keep doing it, that's going to be a problem. But he way overreacted, and you got someone from another country. You have to get out and take an Uber. You're being an asshole.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, you're just being an asshole.
And she was clearly playing. I think he is a stereotypical Muslim man, and I think he's making Muslim men look really bad. And that is a stereotype about Muslim men, that they're aggressive and that they run everything, and they talk to women how they want to talk to them. I'm not saying every Muslim man does that, but that's what I've been told. So I stay away from dating Muslim men because of that. And he is that stereotype. He literally is a stereotype of, you know, Muslim men. And I don't like the way he treats her, but she probably is used to it, though. She might be used to it. That's why she might be okay. She seems to be okay with it. She doesn't really talk back, you know? She seems to be kind of okay with it. And I don't like it, but I think it is culture, though. I think it's culture, and I think it's religion. I think that that's a part of why he's able to do that and why she's going along with it.
Probably so. Malcolm X got slapped up the head a couple times. He didn't act like that.
Well, he was also a strong man, unlike this man child that they call Bilal. You know, the thing about it is, he's a big jokester. He wants to play practical jokes and doesn't want anybody playing with him unless it's the exact way that he wants to be played with. You know, I just want to know where are they finding these black men for these reality TV shows? Because from season 12 of Married at First Sight with Chris, season 13, and now season 14, we've seen nothing but craziness. And now it's kind of seeping over to 90 Day Fiancé. We need to find some strong black men who actually are confident in what they're doing and not be mad because you touched me in my head and I asked you not to do it again. And then you did it. I can't believe you. I get out and walk.
But do you think that they would do that? The strong black men? Do you think they would actually do the show?
Strong black men wouldn't go on the show.
Yeah, I don't think they would. I don't think they would.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go on the show. Like, I don't need that shit. I'm good.
Yeah. They're not going to do that.
Okay. So am I the only one that when his ex-wife was there talking to Shaida, that she almost looked like, girl, run, run.
I didn't get that, but I got very dismissive. She was just kind of like, hey, girl, okay, I'll talk to you later. It was very dismissive. And I thought that she was kind of dismissive to her. She was so hyped about it and so nervous about it. And then when Shaida, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Shaida came over there, it was just very brief and it was very dismissive. Like, you know, hi, okay, I'll talk to you later. So I didn't like their initial interaction, but I'm sure they'll get to know each other. And I think she will kind of tell her, like, all right, girl, he's a little crazy. I think
Shahida's happy that she's out.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, hey, girl, this is all you. You take him.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do. I can go to my house now. I can put drinks down. I don't need a coaster. No one's going to give me shit about it. No one's going to be mad that I moved the pillows off the couch.
Yep.
I can do what I want. This is give us free. Uh-huh. Give us free.
Yeah, she can leave her clothes on the floor. She'll love it. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think she is going to say something to her. I think she's going to say something directly when they have their one-on-one conversation. I think she's going to say, like, girl, like, are you sure you want to do this? You sure you don't want to go back home?
Because, you know, it's giving kind of weird in the fact that Shaida recognizes it feels like I'm being punished. And she says this to him. But this guy just refuses to even have a conversation. He just wants to throw a temper tantrum, walk ahead of her, get out the car, walk away. She's like, oh, he's going to pick up the kids. Mm-hmm. Say something. Have a conversation. Act like a damn an adult. A man?
Absolutely. Yeah. When he got out the car, I felt so bad. She looked like she wanted to cry when she was sitting in the car. And I cry when I get mad. I would have cried. I mean, not in front of him, but I probably would have been so angry. She looked like she wanted to cry. She looked, when he walked out the car and just walked to go get his kids. Yeah, that wasn't right. He needs to be an adult and learn how to communicate.
But what I didn't get is he parks in front of a school with school buses. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's picking up his kids. What else do you think he was going to do?
Hey, the Juma could have been at the school. That's all. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm just like, the Juma's not in the back of the school.
You don't know so, that.
Yeah, I'm like, they're not having church on the playground.
They may do it differently in Oklahoma.
I was just like, it's this elementary school. What do you think he's doing there? And he didn't open the door for you. He's getting his kids. Duh. You know, but for her to be that butthurt about all of that. And again, to your point, Lex, about the culture, I like a woman that's going to be like, hey, no, that's not how we're going to behave today.
Yeah.
I need you to get your shit together. If you're pissed, eat a Snickers and let's get over it. And let's move on and go to Juma and have some church.
Yeah.
You know, but I need someone to have some more backbone. But I just feel like she just seems to be very weak. And again, if it's cultural, that's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. I get it, but I just don't like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's maybe also the house. She brought up the house of the nice house. So I think she's like, okay, I kind of like this lifestyle. So I think it's just kind of, she's balancing it out, like kind of weighing out her options. Mm. Like, do I like this lifestyle or do I just want to give it up and go home? But eventually I feel like she's going to go home.
Yeah, it ain't nothing worth that. Nah, I'm sorry. Ain't nothing worth that.
Okay. So I do have another perspective as a 30, we're the same age. We're both 37-year-old women who have not, we've never been married, no children. She's probably like, you know what? This is my last chance to get this baby. She might be really, she might be willing to go with it just because it's like her, does she want to start all over again? Because then she's getting closer, inching to 40. So on the babies, because she wants a child and she wants to be married, I don't know. She might just have to stick it out. She might want to stick it out. Go ahead. What do you have?
I got a question.
Okay.
So we talked about this on the last episode. Mm-hmm. She's been engaged twice and broke up with those two. Or it ended. Again. We don't know why it ended.
Right.
If it was her or them.
Yeah.
So if she was that hardcore on the baby.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Again, I'm not faulting her, Yanni. Don't try to twist my shit.
Oh, I heard this conversation.
I'm not faulting her. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, if you're that desperate for a baby, what happened in the two guys that proposed to you before that now you're willing to accept this behavior from Bilal because you feel like my eggs are drying up and only have a limited window?
You just answered
it. To be able to spit out a zygote.
You just answered the question because of a limited window. So I don't recall exactly how old she was with the previous engagements, but it was probably more like 32, 35, 37. Okay, now we're closer to 40. So I think that could be what it is. So unless she had both of those engagements last year, there is a difference between I'm engaged at 32 and I didn't press it. I was engaged at 35 and I didn't press it. Okay, now I'm 37. All right. I just need to make this work. So there's a difference. Like you really just answered it. The difference is, okay, now I'm 37. Well, so I feel her as a 37-year-old woman who wants a baby, mm-hmm. who wants to be married. I feel her. She might, all right, let me just, again, she's going to have to start over, get to know somebody again, wait another year, and then it's a problem.
And find the same lifestyle that she seems to be liking this one. And speaking of lifestyle, as we switch to Jabri and Miona, a lifestyle that is not conducive to anybody except people who were born, raised, and lived there their entire life. Rapid City, South Dakota. Speaking of cultural differences of what people do, and I wasn't born in this country, I wasn't raised in this country. Is it okay to go through somebody's dirty laundry to see what it is they wear?
Pause. She didn't go through her dirty laundry. She was standing there while she was taking it out.
Right.
It ain't like she was like, what is this? What is this?
I'm just asking questions. Yeah. I'm just asking
so
questions.
So that's not, no. So I'm just defending was it Mahalia, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Mahala. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She looks a whole like Dozell.
Oh, Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dolezal. That's what she looks like to me. I'm just like.
Yeah.
That's why Rachel was able to pass.
You can tell she's black. You can tell.
Yeah, exactly. But I just had to double check. So I'm just like.
She's a black mama.
I need to get a close up.
She is a black mama. And you can tell. The first episode, I was like, oh, his mom is black. She's a black mom. She's not even playing. Even though she's, you know, biracial. I knew that she was going to come in and start some stuff. I knew that for sure.
Because she's a black mama, I was kind of surprised she didn't just smack the shit out of Miona. Because Miona did kind of tell her, fuck you in a kind of slick way.
Okay, but I agree with Miona on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Jabri's mom is doing, she's not trying to build a relationship to get to know Miona.
Mm-hmm. True.
That was a perfect time to say, hey, let's go to Chick-fil-A. Let me show you around. Let's go hang out and get to talk to you and understand more. I'm sure they do. But that was a perfect opportunity for her to like try to bond and get to know her.
True.
Instead of giving her tasks.
Yep.
And, well, let me show you how the washing machine works.
Right.
What the fuck is that?
Like she lived in a village or something. Like she had.
Yeah, like she's. Yeah, she's never seen some running water. Do you know what this is?
Right.
Flush. Isn't it amazing? You see how it whirls? But that was a perfect time for her to like try to bond with her. So I didn't like that she did that.
Mm-hmm.
I think she should have got a chance to get to know her instead of just showing her chores.
Yeah.
Now, does Miona need a bra? Sure.
Headlights will flash.
I did respect her saying, hey, look, in my house, around my husband.
Yes.
Because that tells me about your insecurity around my husband.
Yes.
I'm going to need you to put a bra on all that. and I totally get that.
Yes. And I think that was fair. I think that was fair of her to say, you know, hey, when my husband's around, do you mind putting on a little more clothes? That is fair. Everything else, I don't know, especially making it seem like, well, here, we don't dress like that. I bet you also there, the men don't walk around with pink hair like her son. So
facts.
It's like, no one, I'm like, I'm pretty sure no one else is doing that because I don't see that even in Atlanta. So for her to kind of call her out about that, like, oh, we don't do that here. So yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like her approach. I didn't like how, I didn't like her tone with her. And I thought that Miona was pretty nice about it. I didn't think she was super rude back. I just thought she was pretty nice about it. She was like, hey, this is your house. This is your home. I respect that. But the main thing, yes, definitely around the husband. Like, don't come around with your midriff showing and your cleavage out.
That's facts.
But now, educate me on this from a woman's perspective. What I took away from that is because of her own insecurities with her own body, probably, you're going to judge someone else who has a better body based on
social
standards.
No, stop it.
Hold on. Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
If his mom was tight and all that, you're not going to say anything.
Stop.
But the fact that you have that issue, you're going to say, hey, you're going to be judged around here. And you're all but body shaming this girl for just the way she dresses normally. I thought that was wrong. Like, why would you body shame another beautiful woman? You might not agree with the top that she wears because you wouldn't wear it. But you don't body shame someone else and say, you shouldn't dress like that because people, you seem to be smart, which is always a lie. If someone tells you, you seem to be smart. It's always a lie.
Yeah.
But you seem to be smart. And I feel like it's going to get missed based on what you're wearing. It's because it bothers you. But to body shame someone else for an outfit that you wouldn't wear, I think it's wrong.
So I don't think it was about insecurities about her body. I think it was simply a, I'm not going to say humans, right? It doesn't matter. She could have a 36, 24, 36 body. It doesn't matter. When there's another woman in your house, she needs to be appropriately dressed, period.
Exactly.
And
but those are two different things. Dressing in my house compared to dressing in the town.
Right, correct.
She told her when you walk around in the city, you're going to get judged. But it was really just her judging her.
Yeah, that was her way of saying, it's not me, it's them.
Right. She was trying to be nice about it. She was.
I'm cool with all this. Yeah. Everyone else is not going to like you, so you should tone it down.
When you go outside. but to be quite honest, so the mom was a little disrespectful. You say Miona really wasn't, even though I thought she was, because she slick kind of gave her the F you, you know. But at the same time, Jabri, I thought, was the most disrespectful. How are you going to tell your mom, or even say to the cameras, well, I don't want Miona to go off on my mom. Are you serious?
Exactly. Yeah, she better not go off on her. And if she knows what's good for her, she's not going to go off on that black mama. She's not going to go off on her.
I understand where Jabri's coming from to a little bit extent.
You would.
Because, no, just judgy a little bit. I thought we were friends. But I understand a little bit where he's coming from. But I think where Jabri loses me, when he's like, I'm not 15 years old anymore. I'm like, you're living at your parents' house and you're borrowing your dad's car. You don't have shit. So she's treating you like a teenager because that's what teenagers do.
Right.
Guys who are in their upper 20s, almost 30, either have their own place or at least have their own car. You don't have either. And you can't afford to take you and Miona to LA for the lifestyle that she wants. So this is the price you pay when you're broke.
Yep.
This is the price you pay when you're broke. This is how you got to live. And you got to shut up and grin and bear it. And Miona has to shut up and grin and bear it. But the problem is, he promised Miona the moon and the stars. And he can't deliver. He wrote a check his ass can't cash.
Absolutely. And I think she saw, because he was big, his band was big in Serbia. I think she had expectations of coming to America. And it's like, oh, we're going to live all nicely because my man is a whatever he is. I saw a video of them on some of a morning show. I don't know what type. Is it rap? What is it?
It's something. It's something. Rock rap. Fusion.
Whatever it is, I don't know if he's going to blow up. So, I don't know. But I think she just had these expectations of like, hey, he's big here. We're going to live it big and we're going to be in LA and New York. And yeah, she thought she was going to live the life of a Kardashian. And it's just, her expectations are flawed.
You know, speaking of flawed expectations, we take it back to the big city. Ari and Benny, because you want to talk about, Jabri's a dreamer. Benny is a dreamer. I mean, you never got a chance to see him actually do his whole workout routine on the heavy bag. And Lexi, I don't know if you saw it in the other way. He definitely is not a fighter. He'll get his ass whooped in his first fight. probably just even sparring in the gym. So him thinking he can make a living off of that, not going to happen. He is just too big of a dreamer. And the fact that Ari's sitting there going, you know, we've got all these things. We've got these bills. What'd y'all think was going to happen when you moved back to the States?
Literally. Yeah, she should have stayed over there. But also, what does Ari do for a living? You mentioned it last week. She's a writer, a part
freelance writer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think she...
Freelance means it's not steady.
Means once a month she writes. Once a month she writes for a publication. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think she's putting a lot of pressure on him. I do think that he has the capability of making more money than her. I do believe that. He is an entertainer. You don't think so?
No.
It's New York. He can find money in New York as an entertainer, yes.
Absolutely. He could be in Cirque du Soleil. okay. Seriously. He could be
on the subway flipping through stalls and shit and put his hat down and get cash because he can't get a paycheck and have a real job till he gets the green card.
Yes.
And that's going to take some time.
Yes.
So he can try to do that and hustle, but we've all seen enough videos on YouTube. There's a lot of talented people in New York. Mm-hmm. He's a dime a dozen. Yeah. Out there. He's not bringing anything special to the New York market.
Yeah. It is special.
No one gives a shit. There's a whole lot of people with accents in New York. They don't care. You know, but the problem with them is he's not a dreamer. He hallucinates. He has these visions when you go smoke some peyote and you have a vision quest. Mm-hmm. He has these vision quests of shit. But there's no plan. Mm-hmm. And so when he was saying, New York, we can live here. I'm like, do you know how much it is in New York?
Yeah.
It's more expensive than New Jersey and you can't work. And he made the comment that her salary is higher than that. So we should be okay because he's never managed money. Mm-hmm. Right. He's always given it to her and she's managed it. Mm-hmm. So he's delusional on what it takes to actually live and make it. So he's just like, I'm in America and I'm going to do this. I'm going to be an MMA fighter. All this will happen next week.
But
that doesn't work that way.
But I think all movies kind of tell people from every country, every movie tells you, come to America and you can live and you can be a millionaire and you can own land and you can do this. You can have whatever job you want. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want, whatever your desires are, you can achieve it in America. That's what they're all taught. They don't know that.
Okay, but there's also a lot of movies that said you could be a Jedi and you have powers. You can fly and you're Superman because you have power. You get bit by a radioactive spider and now movies have said a whole lot of stuff. And that's if your thought of I'm going to take care of my family and kid based on a bunch of movies I watched. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. He needs to loosen that band around his head and let the blood circulate because it's not coming up to his brain.
Well, see, you got to also keep in mind that the power of television is really, and the movies and just television as a whole, is really a lot stronger than you think it is, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we remember in San Antonio and there are people who went to school with, who were down in the Valley and what they knew of black people was what they saw on TV. And what they saw on TV, besides the one person who played on the football team and the basketball team, what they knew of what they saw on TV was rappers, gangbangers, and drug dealers. Because that's what was on TV.
Yeah.
So that's all they knew.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
Bullshit. That applies to you and I because there was no Wi-Fi, YouTube, social media. They have internet in Ethiopia. He can see that there's more to the world than just New York. And so that's bullshit. I'm sorry. And if he didn't do any type of research or due diligence and chose to leave his country to come here for her, because let's be honest, she's not the cutest girl we've all seen in the world.
Leave the animal from Ice Age alone, please.
She does. Okay, but her looks, it doesn't even matter because she has such a shitty personality that her looks...
That part.
You don't have to put it into the equation. Yes. Like, her looks don't even need to be in the conversation because she's just such a shitty person that it's like, even if she was gorgeous and beautiful, it's still like, why are you following this girl? But I mean, my feelings are... He just wants to be around his son. Like, he's just doing whatever to be around his son. It has nothing to do with her. But he has a nice little setup because, you know, the parents are taking care of them. So he won, actually. He kind of won.
He's being aloof to the whole deal. And the fact that, great, he's with his son, but he can't contribute. And so he's taking advantage of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He has no plan to do anything. It's all dreams. They have a lease. He just can't just, hey, we're going to go to New York. We found a spot. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it work. I believe. We're going to make it work. That's not a solution. And so I don't blame her for feeling all the stress because she's being a realist and she sees the numbers and dollars. He has no idea.
At the same time, she's accusing him of not being grateful when really and truly she was the one that came off as ungrateful when her parents. Well, I told y'all, get me the smaller one. What do you mean? I mean, she's finally said it in this episode. I've never had to pay bills in the U.S. Yeah. And that's why, because she's been spoiled her entire adult life. Because what you missed from the other way was they were in South America. She decided to stay because she met some guy. She decided to stay a couple of years. Then that went sour. So she left and she ended up in Ethiopia. She met Benny. She's living this fantasy. She's in as much a fantasy world as he is. Mm-hmm. So don't just put it all on him.
I agree. Yeah.
No, it's on him because I get it. That's what her parents chose to do for her. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it's been their whole life. And I think kudos to any parent, regardless of your race, if you can afford to spoil your child in a way that they can live and have these cultural experiences, awesome. But she also understands dollars and cents and knows that we got to make X amount at some point to be able to cover this 2-bedroom apartment 5 minutes from my parents' house that they put out for us.
But does
and the furniture and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like she gets it that they're going to have to come up with a plan. At some point, you're not in Ethiopia anymore. Mm-hmm. You got to come up with something. And so she knows that D-Day is coming. Benny, in his mind, is everything is awesome. Everything is great for him because he doesn't have to worry about paying for anything.
So I don't know if she truly understands that because she's never really lived on her own in the States. So she's used to hopping around from country to country, paying probably $200 a month in rent or probably doing barter. You know, a lot of people, when they live in other countries, they'll, hey, I work for, you know, let me stay in this place for a month. So I don't think she even really truly understands. And that might be why she's never really lived in the States on her own, because she maybe she can't, she doesn't know how to function like that. So I think they're both. Well, I think Benny's being a dreamer, and I think she's now facing reality of having to be like the rest of us, actual adults that live in America that have to pay bills. But she's never done it before. So it's literally like taking someone fresh out of high school and now asking them to live on their own in America and pay $2,000 or $2,500 rent.
You know, and speaking of that reality check, there's another one that's happening right next door to you, Terrell, your neighbors, Patrick, Thais. And you can't forget John, because, you know, they actually are a throuple. They just don't know it yet. and if I'm Patrick, I want Thais walking around the house naked. You know, I'm not about having a roommate as an adult anyway. So, you know, I kind of get her feel like, it should be us. It shouldn't be us and him. So he should have, speaking of plans, he should have a plan and John should have a plan to move the hell out. You don't want to be in there listening to your brother and his fiance, soon to be wife, you know, enjoying their first 90 days.
Mm-hmm. What's the guy code, Yanni?
That was college.
No, what's the guy code?
No, you're talking about bros before hoes, but no, this is not.
Exactly.
This is not hoes, but this is fiance.
That's the guy code.
No.
That's the guy code. But I'm just saying, if you live with me and I meet somebody in Brazil and she's just like, why do you have Yanni living with you? I'm like, because Yanni's my boy. We've been through some things and he's helped me out. I'm helping him out. No, you don't get a chance to talk shit about Yanni. And you're not even my blood brother, but I would fight harder for you than old boy has fought for John. There's no way you're going to disrespect my family. Hey, this is our makeup. And if you don't like it, then stay in Brazil all you want to. But this is family and blood. You're not going to come in between that. And so I think she's wrong in her attitude. Now, she might not like him. That's great. And this whole setup is not like, forever you're going to live with John. Mm-hmm. But for right now, you're going to live with John. So you need to be an adult about it. But her little, you know, 25-year-old giddy little laugh and all, she's just annoying to me. And I think Paul is more infatuated by how she looks.
Patrick.
Or Patrick's more infatuated about how she looks.
Paul probably is too.
Than everything else. Yeah, but I'm just like, to me, nobody comes between me and my brother.
Right.
Period. I don't care how good you look, how good the sex is. This is my brother. I can talk shit about my brother, but you better not open your mouth and say something about my brother. You've not even met him. You've not even talked to him. It'd be one thing if you've been around my brother for years and you're like, Terrell, can I give you some feedback? I really don't like your brother. But you just can't just say you don't like him because he lives there. So I am totally Team John on this.
Okay, so I agree with part of what you're saying. I do feel like she should not have expectations to come here and just kick the brother out. She should definitely not even think that. She shouldn't even make it a thing. She shouldn't even be speaking, you know, outside of just nice conversations. She shouldn't even be combative with him. So I do believe that. However, at a certain point, as brothers, I was in a relationship with a guy whose brother didn't like me. And when he was around, it can cause a lot of issues. So I do feel like eventually he's going to have to cut the cord. He's going to have to cut the cord with the brother. He's going to have to, because it's not going to work out. She's going to end up leaving him because of him. If he really wants her, he's going to have to cut the cord and have some boundaries with his brother. And I don't think he has boundaries with his brother. So I do feel like it's going to be an issue, and he's going to have to get that together.
Indeed. And, you know, to be fair, she did pick a fight with a morning drunk, right? You can't do that, because there's no winning that. And there's it only goes downhill from there. But as I looked at this, the one thing I thought, because I get their whole dynamic, the family dynamic, whatever, but it looks to me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, it looks to me like John is slightly jealous of Patrick and Thais and the fact that he has this beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of comes into play there, because there's no point that you just go, okay, I'm just going to hang around. You should have a plan in place to at least say, you know what, all right, when you get this life started, I know why I'm in here first, but I'm going to stay here till y'all get through that 90 days, maybe 6 months after, but I'll be gone after that. But have some plan in place, because I'm not shacking up with you for you and your wife. I'm the third wheel the whole time. Nah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. They could have that plan. Again, the producers only show us what they want us to see. Mm-hmm. We might not know they have that plan, but regardless of that, Thais, day one, made the comment that this is my home. I'm like, no, chick, it's not your home yet. You're here. It's a sample, because you could easily pack and go back to Brazil. Mm-hmm. This isn't your home. John's been there. And not only has John been at the home, John has been there for Patrick when Patrick was at his lowest. And when you have people that are there for you when you're at your lowest, you should always have their back first. Now, Thais has to grow up and get over it.
Yep.
A little bit. She's immature. And if John wants to have a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning, it's his day off. Why does this bother you?
Yeah.
Who cares? And who are you to judge someone else? Like, I wouldn't be dating somebody and her sister pours herself a Jack and Pepsi at 9 a.m. I'm going to be like, really? You're drinking this early in the morning? I don't give a shit. Yeah. It doesn't impact me. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're supposed to babysit our kid, I'm going to have some questions. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But she's just being really judgy. And I think Patrick needs to nut up and be able to communicate to Thais. Not so much to John, because he lectured John into tears. But Thais is like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it, because she's giving him that good. Yeah. And so he's just going to let it go.
Well, maybe she's also just trying to make him uncomfortable so he'll leave. That could be a thing, too. Like, maybe she's just trying to, know what? Let me talk all this shit. Let me complain about this, complain about that, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be leaving stuff around. She's going to complain a lot. Eventually, if he'll probably get to the point where he's like, okay, let me just move, because this is not going to work out. So it could be that too. Like, she's just trying to push him out.
I'm taking notes here, because, you know, that's some inside information, inside a trader information from a woman right there.
Yeah.
That's the tactics that they use.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Go ahead. Let me make him uncomfortable so he can leave.
Exactly. Let me complain about this. And especially because she's complaining about it, and then her boo is out here really defending her. So he's really kind of, you know, and even though he's still like, okay, guys, don't fight. But he's really defending her, because, like you said, he's having sex with her. He's going to defend her. And his brother's going to get left out, and it's going to cause tension between the brothers. So, she's probably being manipulative a little bit. Like, okay, let me make this happen. Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, this is the girl who won't even tell her dad, I'm going to the U.S. to get married.
Well, she is a liar. So, there's that.
She's lying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to cause mess, which is what you do at 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's that 25-year-old bullshit, right? So I blame Patrick for this. I'm team John so far on this throuple.
I don't like him. Great. I don't like him.
Patrick is team Thais all the way. Thais, her legs, and her smile. He's all that. She is.
Yeah.
She's very immature. I used to be able to, back home, I could walk around naked if I want to. Okay, he has a roommate, and this is his brother. You can't walk around this house naked. Get over that.
That's annoying.
But
it's
still
annoying.
Where you're living is better than, but she's not in Brazil.
I know.
Where she's at now is better than Brazil.
No, but it's annoying to have to be in your house and put on clothes just to go to the refrigerator real quickly. She can't even just walk to go get
It's not her house. It's not her house.
It's not her house, but
it's the house of the dude that she's sleeping with.
That she's engaged to.
I'm about to say, it's not just the dude she's sleeping with. It's her fiance.
It's her fiance. That's different. So,
but until you get married, it doesn't mean anything. Fiance has no power. You can't pull the plug on somebody and be like, I'm not her husband, but I am her fiance, so I'll vote to pull the plug. You can't do it.
I'm just saying, I get it. Like, you want to walk around your house nude. You don't want to have to put on clothes. She literally has to put on clothes just to go grab some water real quick in the middle of the night. She can't just walk in. You know, that's.
Or she can go back to Brazil and have to like walk a mile to get water.
Wow.
You sounded like we had a Trump rally right now. You can go exactly. back to Brazil.
Yeah, that's right.
Now she lives in poverty in Brazil.
She has to pump the water out.
Oh, Jesus.
And then walk that bucket back.
That is not how breakfast. She was living, but you know, okay. That sounds.
She got mad that Patrick was making eggs for his brother. I'm like.
No, but then John did the exact same thing. So they were both acting childish. So don't act that way. Because John was like, you know, at the same time, John was like, why is you making breakfast for her? He started it. Why are you making breakfast for her? She should be making breakfast for you.
That would have.
But that was just to Patrick. He didn't say that in front of Saeed.
She was walking
no,
outside.
But she was walking out at the same time.
That would have.
That's how they caught it on camera. But that wasn't at the exact same time.
No, it wasn't at the same time.
She sat there at the table and speaking in Portuguese, saying that he should be making breakfast for his brother.
Yeah, because she could have said it in English.
She could have. I was thinking the same thing. So their house looks pretty small because it looked like as soon as their bedroom is right there by the living room. So she probably heard him say like, wait, because he was playing his video games, of course, playing his video games, talking about some, oh, well, she should be cooking for you. That was rude. And if I heard that, I'm going to say something too. And at least she said in Portuguese and didn't say it in English. But yeah, no, that was rude. That was rude for him. He started it. He did start it. And I'm not.
I think if somebody stayed in my house, would I expect them to cook breakfast for me all the time? No, I cook them breakfast too. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't mind. Like, hey, babe, why don't you go get some?
It's
eggs
her first day. Her Jesus first Christ, day. Make her some breakfast.
It is day one. He should make breakfast day one. Day one. That's it.
They'll go right. I'd make breakfast or go make a Starbucks run.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only thing is, if they were in Albuquerque with Eve and Muhammad, you couldn't have the Starbucks delivery man bring the food in, though, because, you know, Muhammad's got some crazy rules. I'm surprised Bilal hasn't pulled this shit yet.
What are you doing? You can't be by yourself. I don't really like this. This makes me. I hate when he talks. I just want to punch him in the face. Every time that he talks, I just can't stand this dude. He can't. The bidet. It's like eggs. Like just talk. Freaking talk.
I don't love him. He seems like he's just a child. He's just a child. At first I thought it was English was his second language, but now I'm just like, no, he's just a child. He just speaks like a child. He talks like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love them together.
At all.
They're not, yeah, like there's nothing about it. I don't, the whole bidet thing. Now, I've seen that in 90 Day Fiancé, what in the last season, every time there's a Muslim man, it's always the same thing. Like, you can't be with other, you know, with a man by yourself. There are certain things, and I do feel like a lot of these women, these American women, do need to understand if you are going to marry a Muslim man, even if you're not converting, you still need to be respectful of and just be aware of this is their culture. This is how he's going to, this is his expectations of me. And you have to have that conversation. And it sounds like they didn't have that conversation before.
Well, here's the thing about that. And I know the one you're talking about, because you're talking about the black girl that went over to the Middle East. If you're going over there, you better get accustomed to those customs. But same thing, if you're coming here, you also have to get accustomed to the American customs, right? And that's part fair. Of it is there's got to be a balance and there's got to be some compromise. And he can't be, well, I'm a Muslim man, so you got to do everything my way. Because you want all the rules in the house that you pay absolutely nothing in and do absolutely nothing for. You don't want to watch the kid. You can't put the bidet in. You can't cook your own breakfast. I mean, what can you do? So he has nothing, no legs to stand on in this. And the fact that she's not converting, but he wants her to do everything according to him. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work that way, ever.
Well, that is the American way, technically. Like, if you have a penis, whatever we say goes.
You're damn right.
You can't have an abortion. You can't take birth control. You can't do all these things because I have a penis and thus I have spoken. And so he's just doing what he's seen on TV and what he's seen in America. So going back to your earlier argument, he's just doing what he saw.
Yeah. But it's also how he was living before, which is the same. A Muslim man living in a Muslim majority country. An American man is like the men run the household. I know it's different. You know, you have these women that are being crazy, but it's still... Most people are traditional in America. They are. They still are. So he's being the same. And I think that she should have been aware about that. I agree with you as far as he's coming here, so he has to adjust. I don't think that's an easy adjustment, though. Like, hey, I'm used men run the household, but now that I'm in America, oh no, you can tell me what to do now. I think that that's just a hard adjustment that he's not going to be able to do.
Well, here's why he can't do it, is because in his country, men run the household because they're the breadwinner.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
He's not the breadwinner.
Yeah.
She's been doing fine for herself for years without you.
Yep.
You can't come into that situation and all of a sudden put down Islam rules in her house and expect her to just conform because you said so.
Right.
And because you have a penis. You have no money you're bringing to the table. You're not paying her bills. You're not taking care of anything. You didn't even pay for the damn plumber. But you're going to talk some shit. And so I think that's the difference in those in Egypt and in Islam, you know, states. It's the guy is the breadwinner. You don't really see a whole lot of she's, you know, so-and-so, you know, whatever Muhammad Esquire, and he is, you know, Joe the baker and makes, you know, $10 an hour.
Right.
The men are tenderly running things. He's not running anything. And so you just can't bring that in there.
But
and he doesn't realize it. I think Eve has done a whole lot. And this was what I put in my notes. She's done a whole lot to make sure her number two son was comfortable.
I'm about to say, yeah.
Yeah, she's done a lot to take care of her number two son. But this is where their problems are going to be in this relationship. Is because he's expecting a culture, but he doesn't bring anything to the table to warrant the culture. If he all of a sudden came and said, actually, I'm a prince in Egypt. I have a lot of money. I've got all this taken care of. I need you to stop being alone with men. You can't wear bikinis, but I got all your finances covered.
Right.
Eve might change her mind about this.
She'd be like, what
but
bikini?
She paid for the plumber. He called the plumber because Muhammad couldn't go on damn YouTube and figure out how to set up a bidet.
Yeah.
So she had to call the professionals in because he's an idiot. So no.
But that's what she gets for adopting a second son. Again, she did not get a fiance. She adopted a second son.
Absolutely.
Let's be real.
And so do you think, so my thinking is that she's older. She just wants a young hot man on her arm. I think she's going to do whatever he says. I do. I think that she's going to whatever to make him feel better. I think she's going to do it just to have a, just like how men, older men want a hot young woman on their arm. They're going to do whatever she says. I think that she's going to do whatever just to have that hot young man on her arm. So I think that she, I don't think that eventually she's going to have a problem with it.
You know, we talk about Muhammad being the immature one in this relationship, but then you get to our final couple this week, Kara and Guillermo, and they've made a big deal about this age difference in this, you know, even though she's only 6 years older than him. But to be fair, she's the immature one. She's the one getting blackout drunk every time, which is not surprising. I look at her and see party girl, and you look at him and see kid, but that kid is like, hey, I need you to stop drinking because it's no fun. She goes out and doesn't want to leave. I mean, who does that? After 23, you're like, okay, I'm good. You know,
no, most of these girls, they move to these foreign countries just to party, just to have a good time. And they spend their money. They are literally trying to get away from whatever, and they can do whatever they want. They can have sex with five different guys a week. That's literally what they're doing. She's the party girl. She is. So I agree with that.
It seems to me like Guillermo is the more responsible one, even though he's younger. And that's not what his life is about. And you got to think about it. If you put yourself in his country, all these people come there to party all the time. So it's kind of like, you know, my family's from New Orleans. Most of my family and people I know from New Orleans, they don't go to Bourbon Street. They're not out doing Mardi Gras because that's what all the tourists come in and do. So they know how to handle themselves. So I feel like Guillermo knows how to handle himself a bit. But I did feel some kind of way with the questions Kara's friend was asking. Because I felt like she was being a little messy and judgy. Like I would never, Yanni, I've known you since I was 18. Not once have I asked you, tell me about the biggest argument y'all got into. Like, I don't ask any of that stuff. Like, why would you even bring any of that stuff up? I feel like that's just being messy. And I think she was being very judgy because she's like, well, you're 23. When I was 23, I didn't have my life together. Well, your friend who's 29 likes to get blackout drunk still.
Yes.
Right.
And so who are you to judge? You know, so I felt like her friend came across a little messy.
She did. Yeah, I didn't like those questions either. I wouldn't have even answered them. It was just a little too personal. And who asked negative questions? Like, when's the last time you argued? When's the last, what do you not like about her? Like, who asked that? What do you not like about your fiance? Like, that's weird.
But what it did bring up was the fact that he was the more mature of the two. And the other thing that came up is that she goes through his phone when he's not even looking. And, you know, even her friend's fiance was like, you know, Guillermo's kind of right. Yeah, yeah. Even Guillermo's like, yeah, well, if I go to her phone, it's when she's right there and in front of her. And if it's one thing for me, that's a big no-no for me. Don't go through my phone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you feel like you have to go through someone's phone, like I would never. I will admit I used to do that in my like early 20s. I'm not going to lie.
What?
And I've had my phone.
What?
I had a man take my phone and run into the bathroom and lock the door. So and I'm like banging on the door. So when I say yes, in my 30s, in my late 20s, I would never. One, you know, you're always going to find something that you're not going to like, even if it's something very innocent. Anytime you go searching for something, you're going to find something that you're not comfortable with. The fact that she does that, I mean, he's a nice looking young guy. And I do think she probably is more into his looks than anything. Like, oh, he's this young, hot Venezuelan guy. So, I don't like the going through the phone thing. And then that fact that they're both doing it, even though he's doing it in front of her. So it's a little better. But either way, it's just, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just wrong. Like people need to have just be able to communicate and not feel like they're going to find something that they don't want to see.
I've never gone through someone's phone.
That's good. Right.
In my life, I've never gone through someone's phone.
Has someone gone through your phone?
And if someone tried to go through my phone, I haven't had that happen.
Really? Actually. You don't think? You don't
no,
think?
No, I haven't had
you
that
don't
happen.
Think. I'm telling you, men and women are sneaky. You don't think because your phone might disappear in the middle of the night.
I could have been asleep.
Correct.
When I'm a deep sleeper, so I could have been asleep. She like put the phone over.
In the middle of the night, you never know. You never know.
But I don't know of anybody going through my phone. If they did, they didn't find anything. Or if they did, they didn't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. But you're never supposed to reveal your source also, by the way.
I think if you have to go through anyone's phone, there's a bigger problem. And so I find that odd. I just can't relate to that behavior.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me neither.
But they both look at each other's phones.
Yeah.
But so Yanni and I talk about this all the time. Any girl I'm ever dating or with, I know she's not a virgin. I'm not her first. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's people in her past. There's people in her past she's had random relationships with. There's people in her past that she might have hooked up with, one night stamp. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. What you don't know about is those random pictures and videos that are still in her phone, though.
She might have taken some pictures. She might have taken some pictures. You know, maybe she has one of those nanny cams and a little stuffed animal on her nightstand, and she collects pictures and video footage of her, you know, little trysts. Uh-huh. Great.
Yep.
But I don't need, I never assume, like, everyone has something.
Yeah.
Who cares? But the fact that you got to go snooping through someone's phone, that's just messy to me. Like, I'll be honest with somebody. Like, you want to look at my search history? You're going to find some porn. Yeah. Yeah. Do I think about you when I look at porn?
No.
Because it's different. It's different. You know, when I'm at Ruth Chris, am I thinking about Eddie V's? No. I'm at Ruth Chris. I'm in the moment.
Oh, my God. It's been a hell of an episode today, and I will say this, Lexi, thank you very much for talking us into getting Discovery Plus so we can skip the commercials. I don't have to hear him complaining about, oh my God, I gotta go. Why do they have so many commercials?
Yeah, it's too long. It is too long. When you're watching it live, it's so long, and I'm like, so I got Discovery Plus maybe like 5 months ago, and it just saved so much time and energy.
I didn't even know that was a thing. So
yeah, you can watch it early. You can watch it before everyone else does. Even though I do like to tweet with the people and official 90 Day Fiance. They'll retweet me a couple times if I say something funny. So sometimes I like to be involved and you know be live in the moment. But most of the time I'm like, let me watch it early. It's past my bedtime.
Well, look, you've got to join us again in the future before this season's up. You know, appreciate you hanging out with us and going over this week's episode.
Somebody commented on our last episode that this show should be called Two Grumpy Old Men because we were talking about the show. And so I'm like, well, now that we have Lex, does this give us any more credit, you know, any more street cred that we're not just grumpy old men?
Nope.
But Lex, I really appreciate you being on the show because I like having the female perspective into what we talk about, because of course Yanni and I, when we do the show, it's either I'm right and he's wrong or he's wrong and I'm right.
Okay.
Like, but there's nothing in the middle. So it's great to have you on there. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, that's I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
And I'm Lexi with the Curls.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, at Lexi with the Curls, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.